Well, good evening to you all. Do we have any graduates here tonight? There's one right there, huh? Well, congratulations to you. Yeah, where did you graduate from? CSU. Oh, excellent. Congratulations. Today, of course, we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension of Christ. It used to be on Thursday. I'm so glad it's on Sunday now because it allows more people to taste these wonderful readings and to ponder the mystery of this feast. This year, the A cycle of readings, our first reading was from the Acts of the Apostles, which gives the account, Luke's account of the Ascension, and it specifies from Jerusalem. The response psalm, echoed by Paul in our second reading, speaks about the enthronement of Christ in heaven, part of the meaning of this feast. The Alleluia verse echoes a phrase at the end of the gospel, and we saw the end of the gospel of Matthew saying, Jesus' promise, I am with you always, even as he ascends. But it also includes that great commission, you know, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel. So our readings are really rich with meaning today. That short gospel passage from Matthew is just filled with meaning for us today. But, you know, if we look at them carefully, we find some conflictual details. As we saw in the Passion stories, as we saw in the accounts of the resurrection, and now the Ascension, and we will see in the account of the coming of the Holy Spirit as well. It seems all four Gospels don't always agree as to exactly what happened. Today we had the Ascension. Luke saying from Jerusalem, Matthew saying it was from Galilee. They went into heaven, you know, the cosmology of the time. They went past the clouds and there was the dome. They went into the dome and that's where heaven must have been. But we've been up there now, right? and we have telescopes that can see, and we haven't found this place called heaven up there. And we know, therefore, it's not a place. It is the experience of being in the presence of God. The experience of being in the presence of God. However and where that is, it's a mystery to us. God mounts his throne. What's that? You know, if we look at it literally, we're looking for a throne, which doesn't exist, does it? Not for a spiritual being. And so we know that it's an image. And much of these, in fact, all of these stories are trying to convey to us not the details of what happened, but the meaning of what happened. And that's what we're looking for today. What does it mean? If it's just history, then we've read it, we've learned it, and that's it. I believe what happened. But the mystery of faith isn't knowledge. It's a relationship. It's knowing him, loving him, and serving him. And with the discrepancies we may see, just remind us to keep looking deeper. Search for the meaning. Search for the hidden gems that are found throughout all of Scripture, but perhaps even more so in these stories of the Paschal mystery of Christ. Don't get lost there. Otherwise, you'd be like those disciples who are standing there looking up at the skies, right? Just waiting for Jesus to do something. And of course, they miss the whole point. So we focus not on exactly what happened, but what does this feast mean? What does it mean for us? What does it mean for you? What does it mean for you this year? Because you are in a different place, we are in a different place than we were last year. And 3 years ago when we had these exact readings before. And so we ponder, what does it mean? We'd love certainty, but God is beyond that. God is mystery. We search for the truth, as in Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. What is his enthronement about? It can only be found and understood in relationship with him. What we are told in these stories then is about Jesus, true, but it's even more so about us. Jesus' enthronement giving him authority. Following him is not a negotiation. It's obeying and imitating. our mission to proclaim the good news. And we ponder today, well, how do we do that? How do we fulfill this command that Jesus gave right before he left the earth? Going to church, sure. Participating fully when you are here, sharing when appropriate, but perhaps an invitation to another, sharing our faith in some way that is not a dominating, but inviting to another to experience why we are here today and why we love being here. Living our faith, well, that's what gives credibility. Not living our faith, well, that leads to scandal. Our faith today tells us that he is with us and that he loves us. Do you really believe this? It's probably easier to believe that he's with us than he loves us, right? Because we keep working at trying to earn his love, which is kind of futile because he already loves us more than we can imagine. Our fears, we see ourselves in the apostles, and they were paralyzed by their fears many times in these stories. But they, we see today, and especially next week, are freed from those fears. They do not weigh them down, but rather they are freed to give evidence and to proclaim the good news. We are weighed down by our pasts at times, failures and sins. Allowing God to love you, though, will heal that. Shame is not a Christian virtue, and it's not a motivation for the Christian life. It's about God's love. And God's with us, and Jesus' enthronement in heaven. And what the Spirit promises will happen and strengthen us by the Holy Spirit, but we'll get to that next week. It's about our hope and our healing in Christ, our letting the Holy Spirit in, realizing I can't do it alone. Our unity, which he prays for constantly. Again, I can't do it alone. We need each other. That's how God helps us. That's how God answers our prayers. We need help. We can't let pride make us think I can do it alone or on my own power. But rather, we seek reconciliation, as the apostles did, and as Jesus did with them. Unity means I don't just live like it's between me and Jesus, because it's much broader than that. To recognize it is our judgments that oftentimes separate us and prevent the very unity for which we pray for many times over, each time we gather, each time we listen to the scriptures. The text from the Ephesians is a prayer that we might understand the power and wisdom and hope that are given to us, and that we might realize that nothing is beyond the power of God. For Jesus is now enthroned at God's right hand. The power of Jesus is invincible, and his way will transform everything, no matter what. So let's not just stand there looking up at the skies.